Since about the year 110, the idea of the Trinity has been taught by church fathers and thought about and argued about. It was at the Council of Nicaea in the early 300s when the doctrine of the Trinity was somewhat established, and then about 1,000 years after that, there was a clarification in the Athanasian Creed where they finally kind of laid most of it to rest. But it's important to understand how Jesus, this baby born in Bethlehem, can also, who's definitely human, you know, cries and needs food and, you know, can't walk through doors, has to open them, things like that, can also be God, who doesn't need any of that. And it's also important to figure out Jesus' relationship to that God called Yahweh, and also Jesus' relationship to the Spirit that came down after Pentecost that Jesus was fully aware of. Are they three different things? Are they parts, three parts of the same thing, but kind of different manifestations of it? It's tough to figure that out. These are hard questions to answer, but we need to make sense of all of this because we need to make sure that we're praising the same Jesus, because it matters down the line when we figure out how we're supposed to act because of that Jesus. So it's easy to use analogies to try to explain the Trinity, but we can run into some trouble when we try to do that. Let's take a look.
Okay, Patrick, tell us a bit more about this Trinity thing.
Yeah, Patrick, tell us.
But remember that we're simple people without your fancy education and books and learning, and we're hearing about all of this for the first time. So try to keep it simple, okay, Patrick?
Yeah, real simple, Patrick.
Sure, there are three persons of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, yet there is only one God.
Don't get what you're saying here, Patrick.
Not picking up what you're laying down here, Patrick.
Could you use an analogy, Patrick?
Sure. The Trinity is like water, and how you can find water in three different forms, liquid and ice and vapor.
Modalism, Patrick.
What?
Modalism, an ancient heresy confessed by teachers such as Noetus and Sibelius, which espouses that God is not three distinct persons, but that he merely reveals himself in three different forms. This heresy was clearly condemned in Canon 1 at the First Council of Constantinople in 381 AD, and those who confess it cannot rightly be considered a part of the Church Catholic. Come on, Patrick.
Yeah, get it together, Patrick.
Then the Trinity is like the sun in the sky, where you have the star and the light and the heat.
Oh, Patrick.
Come on, Patrick.
That's Arianism, Patrick.
Arianism?
Yes, Arianism, Patrick. A theology which states that Christ and the Holy Spirit are creations of the Father and not one in nature with him. Exactly like how heat and light are not the star itself, but are merely creations of the star. That's a bad analogy, Patrick.
You're the worst, Patrick.
All right, sorry. The Trinity is like this three-leaf clover here.
I'm gonna stop you right there, Patrick.
Yeah, hold your horses, Patrick.
You're about to confess partialism.
Partialism?
Yes, partialism, a heresy which asserts that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are not distinct persons of the Godhead, but are different parts of God, each composing one-third of the divine.
And who confesses the heresy of partialism?
The first season of the cartoon program Voltron, where five robot lion cars merge together to form one giant robot samurai, obviously.
I've never heard of Voltron.
Of course you haven't. It's not going to exist for another 1,500 years now, Patrick.
Yeah, get with the program, Patrick.
I mean, really, Patrick.
I'm going to stab you in the face, Patrick.
Okay, that was probably a bit much.
All right, I'll try again. The Trinity is like how the same man can be a husband and a father and an employer.
Modalism again.
All right, then it's like the three layers of an apple.
Partialism revisited.
Fine. The Trinity is a mystery which cannot be comprehended by human reason, but is understood only through faith and is best confessed in the words of the Athanasian Creed, which states that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance, that we are compelled by the Christian truth to confess that each distinct person is God and Lord, and that the deity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is one, equal in glory, co-equal in majesty.
Well, why didn't you just say that, Patrick?
Yeah,
so we're not gonna figure out all of the intricacies of the Trinity this morning. But it is important to understand that the church has been grappling with this idea for thousands of years, and it's complicated. How can this baby be a part of God? And how does that work? And we have some creeds to help us out. But one of the great things about the great doxology is it states the Trinity. It states that God the Father and Jesus, God the Son and the Holy Spirit, which is feminine, by the way, are all part of this miraculous happening. And that we should praise the Trinity. It helps us name what we're doing. It helps us all get on the same page. We're praising Jesus. Like it says in the great doxology, in the Gloria, the one who hears our prayers and takes away the sin of the world. Gloria in excelsis Deo.